take you to places that we really don't understand, and we'll get a little bit of a glimpse. So let's pray as we begin. Could you turn that air on a little bit so I stay alive? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can be together, and thank you that we can think about you, and we can focus on who you are and what you bring to the table and how it affects our life. And Jesus, we now, like it seems we do every week, want to welcome you into this room. We want to tell you that we love you. We want you to lead our lives. We want you to communicate to that inside part of us that sometimes we aren't in touch with. So take us now. Touch us now with truth, with your life. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who are new, there's probably not a lot of you, but we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus. And we're chronologically working our way through his life. And so the next message will be the next step in his life to the best of our ability. And I don't know, just to begin today, if you've ever thought much about or if you've ever focused on what makes you feel secure? I mean, honestly, when you get to the inside of us, what makes you feel safe and okay? What brings lasting stability to your life? Really? What makes you feel that sense of I'm okay? This is one of the great gifts that Jesus offers if you're willing to listen to him, certainly. When you begin to follow him, and that's the whole passion of this series and really this church, is to get you to a place where you really honestly begin to follow him. When you do, there's a calm that becomes available that isn't available any other way. Even when things are moving, and as you know, life moves. It just does. It doesn't stop for anybody. It moves constantly, and all the moves aren't good that we have to face. That's just the reality of life. We got to work our way through those things. There's a sense that I don't need to be in control when you begin to follow Jesus, that you can let go of things that you couldn't let go of before. I can be free. I can be free. And when I say free, I mean free to love, free to forgive. Even though somebody wounds you, you can let them off the hook. You can let it go. You can be free to enjoy. You don't have to hide things. You don't have to be cautious all the time because you know somebody besides you is in control. It's a beautiful way to live, to begin to follow him. Lots of good stuff comes from Jesus, as we know, as we've seen in this series, and we'll continue to see. I could go on, but let's get to the message, huh? Sound good? Thinking through a glimpse of God, what would it be like? What would we experience? So, as always, I'm going to do my best to bring you into the text and have you experience just a little bit of it, not just talk about it, not just inform you about it. But a glimpse means, number one, a glimpse is offered to the top three. A glimpse is offered here to the top three. Now, the word glimpse, if you look in the dictionary, which I did, means a quick look. Incomplete look, certainly, but a quick look. A sighting of some sort. A small, brief appearance of, in some way, about something. A peek, if you will. A peek. So what are we talking about? Look at Matthew 17, verse 1. He says, after 6 days. Now, this is 6 days after the last statement that Jesus made in Matthew 16, 24, at the end of what we covered last week. He said, truly I say to you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They had no idea what he was talking about. They didn't know what he was referring to. Because oftentimes you don't know when the future is talked about. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You and I don't know what's coming tomorrow, and you kind of are keenly aware of that. He took with him, the Bible says, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, these are the most intimate disciples of Jesus, and we see this throughout the New Testament. His top three, if you will, and why, we don't really know. I don't know whether Jesus was a secret fisherman hobbyist, so he picked Peter as a special guy. We don't know why, but he picked him. They were the ones that were closest to him by his choice, apparently. They didn't get to go, ooh, 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 pick me, Jesus, but he picked them. I think that's significant. We'll talk about that a bit later in a small way. So he led them up a high mountain. Now, this mountain is not identified in the Bible. We don't know where it was. Maybe one of the reasons for that is so somebody doesn't go build a shrine up on that mountain, right, because of what's going to transpire here in this story. He led them up a high mountain by themselves. It was just the four of them. Now remember, there are 12 disciples, this is the four of them, and I sense Jesus chose these fellows, and he went up this mountain. He says, come with me, guys, we got a journey ahead of us. And I think of the word journey, and I think of all of our lives. Each of our lives, we all have our own stories, and it's a journey. It just is. Then the Bible says in verse 2, he was transfigured. Now, the word transfigured is the word metamorphosis. And it means a change happened. Something dramatic took place that was not normal. Jesus, the Bible's teaching, took on a different form. They experienced a brief display. I don't know how brief, but it was a display of his divine glory. That Jesus is God, and he became, in some sense, this remarkable, for in our terms, creature that is otherworldly. The Bible goes on to describe it. We'll talk about it a little bit. But a glimpse was given to these three men. The Bible says before them, right in their eyes, in their preview, they could see what was happening to him. They're up on a mountain, and I don't know if Jesus said, one, two, three, watch. We don't know how this happened. But boom, boom, Jesus was there in some remarkable, amazing way in his godness, in the divine glory of who God was. I wish I had better words to explain it, but we just don't. And he did it before them. Now, the results of it are described a little bit, just to give us a little bit of a picture, a sneak peek, if you will, from our perspective. The Bible says his face shone like the sun. And remember, if you go outside and it's a clear day and you try to look at the sun, you're going to be in trouble real soon. Your body, your mind just tells you, don't keep looking at that. That is not good for you. And you look away. Photographers can, through their lenses at times, take pictures directly of it because it's softened. The Bible says his face shone like the sun. You know, I don't know what kind of wattage we're talking about here, but you couldn't really look at it. It was stunning. And his clothes became as white as the light. Now, his clothes were really bright. I mean, clean as clean. But his clothes were like never seen before. And remember, they did not have washing machines back then. So it probably kind of stunned them. But they were overwhelmingly bright, the Bible's trying to say. I'm trying to give you descriptive thoughts here as you work through this. Luke puts it like this, as bright as a flash of lightning. Now, how bright is lightning? As bright as it gets for us from our human eye. As clean, as pure as it can be. Now, please remember, Jesus, up until this moment, for the last 30 years, was living with the limits of humanity. 30 years. He was born of a virgin, the Bible teaches. We'll cover that in a few months. Christmas. 68 days until Christmas, by the way, if you're shopping. Don't do the math. I'm not sure. I saw 71 last week, so I'm hoping I'm close, okay? It doesn't matter. If you're that kind of person, you need another church because we don't, you know. Sorry. If you're new with us, we do that all the time, so I hope you enjoy it. Jesus, is now unleashed to these three fellows like never before. For them, or in truth, for anybody. It's a revealing, if you will. In some remarkable way, the deity of who Jesus was is let loose before three fellows, just like us, just like me and you. The God part of Jesus was brought forth in a public way, in front of Peter, James, and John. Well, what an experience on a human level. This can't, of course, be adequately explained. I don't have words for this. We just don't have, because we've never seen anything like this. A second thing that happened, as the Bible talks about, number two, a blast from the past, some visitors arrive. So you would think that would be enough for this little mountain hike. But no, it goes further. Now, every once in a while in our lives, don't read ahead, you people. I know you're doing it. You know the story anyway. Come on, if you've been around. Every once in a while, something unexpected happens to our life. Good, bad, or ugly, whatever it might be, but we're surprised. We're caught off guard, if you will. And these guys are already a little shocked by what they just witnessed. And the adrenaline is pumping through their system because, you know, when something special happens, our bodies react. That's how God built us. They aren't thinking straight. They're in a bit of a daze or a haze, if you will. And then this happens, and it's kind of like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is over the top. Not that the other thing wasn't over the top, but it's hard to top. I mean, we got trouble here, but look what happens. Just then, the thought is immediately, boom, boom. Didn't wait a long time. We didn't have a 10-minute intermission. Just then, there appeared before them Moses, the greatest, arguably the greatest leader in all of human history, even to this day. What he did is just phenomenal without cell phones. Okay, I mean, it's just amazing what he did, all right? And Elijah, a prophet known for his courage and boldness and faithfulness and his walk with God, he was known not just for being close with God, but he was the favorite prophet of the children of Israel in history. And they're talking with Jesus. Now, I don't know where to put this either. I mean, Moses and Elijah join a conversation, been dead for centuries, if you will. And they're there standing there talking to him. Do you have a compartment for this? I mean, it's just Jesus all bright and stunning talking with Moses and Elijah. What do you do with that? If you're Peter or James or John, how do you deal with that on the mountainside? You've already seen the guy heal the blind, bring people back to life. What next could blow you away? Well, how about this? And they spoke, Luke tells us, we don't see it in the Matthew account, but Luke tells us they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. So he was talking about what was coming. He's already been talking about that with the fellows. He gave great details a few weeks ago for us and in the last chapter about exactly what was going to happen, that he was going to be wounded and hurt and beat by the religious leaders, that he was going to be put to death and killed, and he was going to come back to life. And they just kind of glossed over it. Never will that happen, Peter says, and gets his fanny in trouble. So they were talking about what was going to happen. And some of the questions we would have, you might have, is where did they come from? They were dead. They'd be gone a long time. Where did they come from? What were they wearing? Some of you might ask. It doesn't matter. But what's the real plan here? He's trying to take us to a place in part, I think, practically, where we think beyond this life. We oftentimes are just so limited. We think about here and now. How much money do I have? Do I have enough money? What's my retirement look like? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to get my kids through college? What's my next step? We think about all these things, all these thoughts. Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to have health care? Right, that's another subject. But I got you chuckling there, didn't I? Are they going to stay for a while? These are the thoughts somehow that are running through these guys' minds as they're racing with all this adrenaline happening. Put yourself in the spot on the mountain with them. You're one of the three. And the third thing is the guys go human. They go human. And the truth is, that's all they knew. That's all we know. That's all we know is we go human. Because that's all we know. It's all we experience. We are limited. The truth is, this is really, really weird stuff. And I don't think that's honored. You can't just teach this passage factually. I mean, you can, but this is weird. This is strange stuff to those of us that are merely human. Imagine all of a sudden if I had President Lincoln here live, and he wasn't like an actor, or the real Elvis, not some faux Elvis. And he was right here, and he started singing, "Wise." I'll stop there. But seriously, you wouldn't know what to do. Jim, that looks like it's really him. Whoa, that hat is really you would not know what to do. Well, you got to understand, Peter, James, and John are just like that. They go, what is going on? Is Abraham coming next? How about they bring David? Can I see a picture of Goliath laying down? What's next? We don't have a place for this, and neither do they. This is unnerving to them. And look what happens in verse 4. Guess who speaks up? There's always a few of them among us. Peter said to Jesus, so Jesus is there, chatting with Moses and Elijah. They're gone or leaving at this point. Luke tells us in chapter 9, verse 33, as the men were leaving, Peter said to him. So there's a process of in and out going on here. All right? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, Peter obviously didn't listen to what they were talking about. Maybe he was incapable because he was in shock because of what he's experiencing. He's just a human. That's all he is. He didn't hear about him going to Jerusalem. My sense is, Bible commentators tell us, as I studied through this, that they were just clueless. They were out of sorts. And we need to kind of be understanding there. So would we be. It's not normal life right here on this mountain right now. For some reason, the truth seems to be veiled here to them about what they were talking about. I would want to listen in. My mind would tell me, but they didn't ask about Jerusalem. So you're really going to do what you said? That really what you said 6 days ago is really going to happen? They're not locked onto the truth. And for some reason in our life, and it's an amazing thing to me, how the truth can be veiled, I think sometimes by our own limitations. We won't open our mind up to Jesus is really God. We're not playing around here. This is not just some hope. Jesus is God, and he's showing it to us right now. Now, we're not there. You're not on the mountain. But somehow, that truth, people push back on that. You can talk about God. You can talk about spiritual life. You can talk about afterlife, heaven. But when you bring Jesus up, for us, it's not a divider, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to hear about him. He would have left a long time ago. Why is the truth veiled? How much of the truth is veiled in your life? How much have you pushed back throughout your life and go, I can't take that, it's too much? That's happening to these guys that are witnessing it. So he goes on, if you wish, he was kind of submitted, which is beautiful. The only thing Peter could come up with, I'll put up 3 shelters. I'll build you 3 homes for you and Moses. Maybe he was thinking, I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. We don't know that. But he comes up, everybody wants a home and wants to be safe, don't you? The message here in part, if you'll allow it to be, is don't just go human in your life. That's all you know, that's all we know experientially. But let God be God in your life. Let him be greater than our humanness. Don't just go human. Accept our limits, but trust and connect with him that isn't human. Him that created us. Don't just jabber something. I'll build 3 homes. Submit your life to him who's God. Him who's God. As if that wasn't enough for these 3 fellows on the mountain. Number 4, Jesus gets his Father's approval. This is the 3rd confirming fact in this passage that Jesus really is God, which is the message of the Bible. Not the message the world wants to hear, but it's just the truth. First, you have his incredible glory made public to 3 fellows. His face shining like the sun, his clothes just stunning. He's not just a guy. He's God. Then you have Moses and Elijah come aboard, you know, back from the dead. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Not a small deal. And 3rd, God the Father speaks here. Look at Matthew 17:5. Are you having fun? Well, stunned by this, it is stunning. It's overwhelming. While he was still speaking, this is Peter talking about his 3 construction projects. Okay, while he was just speaking, he's a little interrupted. A bright cloud covered them. So, I don't know how long this cloud took. It could have just, God can do whatever he wants, but maybe it moved. I don't know. Clouds move. But this bright cloud covered them. The idea is it overshadowed them completely. They were totally enveloped in this really bright cloud that was unnatural and not normal. Something was up on top of this mountain. Everybody kind of knew it. They didn't know what it was at this point, but they're overwhelmed by it, most certainly. And a voice from the cloud said, so, now, understand we have a speaking cloud here. A little weird for the world, and I understand that. But what's about to happen is overwhelming. This is stunning to them and ought to be stunning to us. And if this happened to you, you might never be the same in your life. We've never seen anything like this. But to the children of Israel, in truth, the tradition said they weren't there. But when they were wandering through the wilderness, that there was a pillar of cloud by day that led them by God. So clouds were not odd back then. I mean, I haven't had a cloud lead me. Certainly the Dodgers didn't have a cloud leading them. Okay. But by the way, this voice that comes is an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God in my life. I'm willing to hear it, but I've never heard it. I've heard it through his word. I believe the Holy Spirit has directed my heart and my actions in life and motivated and inspired my life in a number of ways, but I've never heard the audible voice of God. So it's hard to relate to this for me. Jim, preach on this on Sunday. I don't get that. pretty much the same words that were used at the baptism of Jesus and happened right before his death. But this is what God the Father said in this cloud that was overwhelming these guys. This is my son. This is my son. By calling him his son, the Father declared him publicly to be of identical nature and essence with himself. He's my son, whom I love. He's my beloved son. God the Father is saying in a public way to them and to us today, saying they had a relationship of mutual love that was divine, was incredible, and beyond what we understand. With whom I am well pleased, the Father is declaring his approval of all that his son was doing and all that he was heading to, that this was the sent one. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of not only you, but of the world. And God himself said this, and these are the three words you want to take from this message above all else. And they're not big words. Listen to him. Listen to him. Directly appealing to these three guys. God the Father is now talking, not just declaring, but he's telling these three guys what they ought to do. And us as well today. He tells them to listen to him. In other words, if my son tells you he must go to Jerusalem and die and be raised from the dead, listen to him and believe him. He's not making things up. Listen to him. So I guess a great question at this point in the message is, what will it take for you to listen to Jesus? I mean, really. What will get your attention? What if God himself asked you and asked me to listen to Jesus? Well, Kenny, he just did. He just did. If you ask me the question, what does God really want you to do? What does he really want you to listen to Jesus? If you don't listen to him, you can't follow him. If you don't listen to him, you can't believe in him. Listen to him. He's my son, whom I loved, whom I'm pleased in. Listen to him. To begin listening to Jesus is a place where God begins to have access to your life. To begin listening to Jesus is where it all starts. Until you listen to Jesus, God is shut out of your life. And people don't mean this. They don't mean to close the door on God, but he's where it begins. Listening to Jesus changes everything. And this is our dream. Those of us that are parents that are real believers and followers of Jesus, we just want our kids to listen to him. There's so many things to listen to in the world. All of us want to be successful. I get it. But to listen to Jesus is where any relevant, lasting success comes from. To listen to him opens us up to so much. So much. Now, what would you say? What would you want God to hear from you? Watch this. Enjoy. How'd you know I was coming here?
If you could tell God anything and he knew he was listening, what would you tell him?
Hurry up and get this over with.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea.
That's a hard question.
I don't know.
It's so deep. It's too philosophical. I don't have time for it.
I don't know. I don't know. No idea. I don't know.
If you could tell God anything and you knew he was listening, what would you say?
It wasn't me.
What is he waiting on?
Hurry up and get here.
Hurry up and get here.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you for blessing me.
Thank you for giving me life.
If you could tell God something and you knew he was listening, what would you tell him?
I don't know, I don't really believe in him.
I'm right, aren't I?
Why am I here?
What's gonna happen to me?
Prove it to me.
Prove what?
That you are real.
I don't believe in God.
There's too many questions. I'll have to sit down and have a beer with him or something.
That's a pretty hard question. I don't know. See, the world's pretty corrupt.
Bring some peace and love.
Stop the violence, the shooting in the schools.
If you could tell God something, and you knew he was listening, what would you tell him?
I need a lot of help. Could you please help me?
When is he coming back?
Why would you ask him that?
To know when things are gonna get better.
Why you have to take my breath?
That's it, basically.
What happened to your brother?
He got shot and killed.
I would ask him why,
why is the world like this? Why hasn't he made any appearances like how he's done a long time ago?
That's pretty deep. I think I would pretty much ask for him to just allow people to get enlightened a little bit more, and not necessarily for God. Well, that's my whole problem. Maybe I don't even believe in a God. So, I don't know, that question's kind of loaded.
I don't know.
I don't believe in God.
You think there's anything in control of the whole mess here?
No.
Help.
If you could tell God something and he knew he was listening, what would it be?
Why me?
Give me my mother and father back.
Where's Satan?
To forgive me for all the things I've done that's wrong.
When's he coming back?
Forgive me. I don't know. I don't ask him anything.
To make the way a little easier. I can make it so hard.
How specifically?
Just pressure in life.
Why is there evil in the world?
You think it's okay to be honest with God and ask questions like that?
Sure.
Why not? There's a God, he ought to listen, right?
Help! I would ask him, how come things on this planet aren't the way it seems like his plan was meant to be?
If you could tell God something and he knew he was listening, what would it be?
What's that? I don't know. I mean, I don't really believe in anything. But if I believed in God, I'd ask him, what's the purpose of me living here in Earth? And yeah, or maybe more. Actually, I don't even know. Yeah.
I'd ask if people that commit suicide, do they go to heaven? Because my dad killed himself, and I don't know.
Yeah, I have a question. Would I go to heaven? That's my only question.
Tell him to straighten up.
Okay.
He's not doing a very good job right now, is he?
Do you think it's okay to be honest with God and ask questions like that?
Only if he's listening.
Do you think he's listening?
Or she? No.
You sure?
I don't think he has his hearing aid turned up.
Hurry up and get here.
Thank you for everything.
Why am I here?
Bring some peace and love.
Could you please help me?
Why hasn't he saved my brother?
Why hasn't he made any appearances?
Say whatever you want to come on.
Can you forgive me for all those bad things I did? Try and turn my life around, so I don't know.
Take me back?
Alright, thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Easy.
Take me back?
Interesting when we peek into the world in this place and where it's at and what's happening. What would you say to God if you had the chance? Thank you. It was pretty cool. So the guy's response here is very interesting to all that has happened. Their reaction, of course, you know, I mean, if you ask a question, what would you do if you were here? I mean, I know there's not, you can't put yourself in that place, but you got to understand our humanness is very limited. Number five, their humanness doesn't work in this realm. I think we need to learn that more than anything. They're beyond themselves in this whole ordeal. They just are. Is it dark out there? Yeah, that's cool. Good. Yeah. My wife spoke. Yes, we're going to get the lights on. They're now dealing with God the Father. They're in a whole different realm now. And it's overwhelming. And it's kind of like, forget about it. You can't stand in his presence. You don't pack the gear. And what happens to them is really amazing. It doesn't go so well. They're overwhelmed by this totality of the experience. Look at Matthew 17:6. When the disciples heard this, the voice from heaven, it's kind of like Moses' experience when he got the tablets and the finger of God and all that. God speaking in this cloud situation, they fell face down on the ground. Now, there's not enough room up here, but what I was going to do, you got to understand, I'm an old youth pastor. And I was going to have Kenny and Terry and Grant come up here, but you know, it'd just be funny, they'd be laughing. But I was going to have them lay flat face on the ground. And they would have, right? You would have, thank you. Because I might still do it. But no. If there was room, they'd be up here. I wouldn't want them touching each other, but But this is this is phenomenal what's happening here to these men. And somehow I want to put you face down on the ground with them right now, and myself as well. It's weird, man. They're like hiding themselves. They're hiding their eyes. They're laying down. They're scared to death. The Bible goes on to say, they fell face down to the ground, terrified, overwhelmingly frightened, frightened beyond their life, scared to death, traumatized, overwhelmed. I don't know that any of us have ever felt this way unless enormous trauma was in our life or we thought we were about to die. I don't know that I've ever felt what these guys felt here. It seems the three houses thing, that was gone. It's just gone. It's gone. They were in like this surrendered position that I don't know if any of us get in enough. I don't mean the physical part. I mean they were brought to the end of themselves. It's like they got to the end of their rope and there was no knot. They gave up control. They gave up reason, and they just submitted. And somehow I think there's something to learn from these guys' position. Not that you need to get there now or later, or you need to physically be there. But the question, I guess, would be is what would it take for you to surrender to God, really? And somehow, if we can make that choice based on this story, to put ourselves as close, just 5% we're on that mountain, maybe not 50% because we can't, and realize that Jesus really is God, that he really deals with death well, that God the Father is pleased in him, that all he wants us to do, if you can take anything away from today, is listen to him. The rest of your life, you listen to Jesus because God said so. I don't care what voice tells you, it's a waste. God said, listen to my son. If you will listen to Jesus, you change your future, is the message today. If we can get our kids to listen to Jesus, not just believe in him, we for some reason in our culture feel that if we get somebody to believe in him, everything's okay. It's not okay if you believe and you don't listen to him. You don't know if you're really going to heaven. What percentage of the people in this room are going to heaven? We hope every one of them. But what's the truth? What is the truth? Only those of you who listen. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If you don't follow Jesus, you should not have confidence that you're going to heaven. Is that too much for you today? Are you so glad you came to church? We're going to have a great football game tonight. Peyton's going home. It's a lot. You know, I study this stuff, and I bring it here to you, and I want to be fun, and I want to laugh. I want to listen to him more than anything. Can you somehow in your life say, I bless you, I am going to listen to Jesus. I'm going to listen to him. It's not a surprise what happens next. Number 6 there in your notes. Jesus shows up when fear hits. You know, it's good to have a plan with fear, because we've all faced it, and we certainly will. What are you going to do if the worst thing happens? Whatever your worst is, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go with the real fear that can hit your life? Where are you going to go? Verse 7, after all this over-the-top stuff that we've talked about, he moves towards them with love. The Bible says as the three guys are laying flat on the floor, the Bible says, but Jesus came and touched them. And you got to love the picture here, if you will. Never seen a painting of three guys laying on a floor and Jesus reaching down and touching. That might be a new one. But what a beautiful picture to grab from this message. Jesus bent over and reached down and touched them to ease their fear, to help them through their panic. Get up, he said. It's okay now. He's saying to him, you're okay, I got this. Time to get up, fellas. Don't be afraid. Our tendency as humans is to when I say what the worst thing has happened, we know, we all think about our kids, our mate, the one we love. We think about death because it's the worst thing that can happen. We don't have to try to figure it out. It's not bankruptcy. Bankruptcy would be a bummer. But it's not the end of the world. Death, it's over. The relationship is over. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear, guys. You don't have to fear. Verse 8, and this is cool the way it's laid out here. When they looked up, it's not like they looked up immediately. And maybe one looked up before the other. But it's almost like he's trying to describe that they peeked. They raised their eyes to look around. They've seen too much. They've been overwhelmed. Their body is probably in emotional shock based on all the things that had transpired here. And then finally, God put them over the top. God put them over the top. And they saw no one as they peeked except for Jesus. The cloud's gone. Moses and Elijah are back where Moses and Elijah were. It was just them and Jesus. You know, this is all you get now. You don't get Moses and Elijah and Elvis and Lincoln. You don't get that stuff. You just get Jesus. And the message here, and always will be here, is Jesus is enough. When he becomes more important than anything, it changes and rocks your world. Most Christians, that's just not true. There's a whole list of stuff, and Jesus is kind of plopped in the middle as important and the Savior of my life. But he's not the most important thing. They don't love him more than anything else. And I would encourage you to do that. Jesus shows up when they need him most. To be touched by him, Jesus, when you're facing fear or when I'm facing fear is what we need most. It gives us strength outside of ourselves. It allows us to have hope outside of this life and beyond this life. It connects us to God himself. It's a beautiful thing to understand that. Our time on the mountain is ending at this point. And number 7, Jesus again tells them what's coming. And this should be no surprise. It's commonplace for Jesus. But his resurrection, for his resurrection to be a surprise to these guys is quite foolish. But it becomes that, as we'll see as the story unfolds the next 6 months. But he just showed them he was God. And look what he says, verse 9. As they were coming down the mountainside following this amazing experience, Jesus instructed them, grabbing a teaching moment as he seems he did. Great parenting tool. Don't force teaching moments. Grab the ones that come. Grab the ones that come. They're coming down the mountain. And you know, you're always more careful when you're coming down the mountain going up because you got to be careful. I don't know how steep it was, but you're always more careful. You watch your feet carefully when you're going down. Not that I've done a lot of hiking or I'm the son of a hiker, but I've done enough. He tells him, don't tell anyone what you've seen. Oh, time out. All this cool stuff, because they're just human, remember. All this cool stuff we just witnessed, we can only talk about it amongst ourselves. That's a pretty cool fraternity to be in. You ask, what builds commitment? What makes for companionship? These three guys throughout their life, the next year or so before Jesus died and came back to life, because we'll see that then they got to talk about it. That's why we know it today. He says, until there will be a time where you can tell everyone, anyone. He says, the Son of Man, until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Just assuming this fact, it's going to happen. I'm going to die and I'm going to come back from the dead. Once again, it's discussed. Keep the secret till after my resurrection. This would have been very hard to do, especially with 9 guys down the mountain. Now again, they're real guys. They're just like us. You know someone among the 9 asked, hey, what happened up on the mountain? You're there for a few. What happened? What went on up there? What'd you guys do? Anything special happen? You know how you just start getting peppered by question and everybody, all three of them are kind of looking at each other and being quiet? It's because I don't think they wanted to lie and say, oh, we went fishing. There's no water up there on the mountain. You guys look different. Something happened to you. So you're not going to tell us. You're a bunch of snobs now, whatever word they used for snobs back then in Jerusalem. You really think you're special, don't you? No, don't think we're special, but we're not going to talk about it. Just interesting stuff. So what do we learn here to bring this to a close? Number 1, some friends will be closer than others. Some friends will be closer than others. Jesus had a top 3, so will you. And it may be 5, it may be 2, it may be 1. But you're going to have your top friends. And some people feel really guilty about this. I've seen this before. And all relationships don't work. Will you just accept it? They don't. Just because you're a Christian, every relationship's supposed to work and be... That's fake, folks. Some relationships are smoother than others. It's okay. Relax. Some people fight fights that aren't battles. So some friends will be closer than others. It was true with Jesus. Come on. Number two, refuse to go human only. Refuse to go human only. Understand our limitations and tendencies. All we know is human. I get that. We have no experience outside of it. The Bible teaches that there is another realm, and part of that realm is very frightening, and evil kind of exists there and influences and impacts our world culture and the people that we love. Truth takes us beyond this realm. We just went there today. Now, I understand we didn't feel it, we didn't see it, we didn't smell it. But there's a sense where the Bible took us to a realm we don't understand, and we just tried to unpack it as best we can in this very room the last 35 minutes and be awed by it, by Jesus himself, by overcoming death in Moses and Elijah being there. That is a huge message. You don't have to fear death. You can refuse to fear death in your life. How many people up and down the block you live on don't fear death? You don't have to. Learn and train yourself to fix your eyes on Jesus, to think on things above. Understand that there are stories that are over the top. I can't explain them. I can't defend how Jonah was really in the belly of a big, big fish. People think I'm nuts. The Bible's not nuts, folks. Go God, not just human. Be humbled by him. Be surrendered. Know your place. And understand it and celebrate what God is. Number three, run to Jesus when you face fear. Don't go it alone. Don't tough it out. Don't tough it out. Run to Jesus. Say out loud with fear. I've taught you this for years, 15, 16 years. When you face fear, when you have chaos in your life, when you're facing trauma emotionally or physically, say out loud, Jesus is my Lord. For you, not anybody else. Jesus is my Lord. When you're terrified, when your heart is broken, say out loud, Jesus is my Lord. That's where we run. Now, we may be weak in the midst of Jesus is my Lord. It does something to you. Forget about everybody else. It is a beautiful thing to say out loud to you and to know what you depend on. Number four, Jesus really told us what would happen. He did it again. He told them his future. I'm going to die. I'm going to come back to life after I die, which is a pretty bold claim. I wouldn't suggest trying that. It's going to happen, and it happened. It's remarkable. Number five, rethink. Rethink, retool, recalibrate who you believe Jesus really is based on what the Bible says. Jesus physically showed up to these three that he was God. They chatted with Moses and Elijah. Come on. God said, he's my son, and I love him, and I'm pleased in him. Now it's time to believe in him. Just move your life towards him. Start believing, start following, and watch what he does with your life. Again, the closing question today, where do you find your security? I mean, really. What makes you feel safe? We'll close with this, and then I'll pray.
Kind of in today's world, where do you find security or stability?
Having a job and being able to pay my bills.
I find security in my life being me and taking care of me and watching my back.
What is stable to you? What is stability or what is secure?
Mainly family. Mainly family. Mostly family.
Myself.
And why so?
Because I can, because I'm secure.
Definitely health insurance and definitely a living, being able to make a living in a difficult environment.
In your life, where do you find security?
Bank of America.
Where do you find security or stability?
My home.
My home?
About roof over your head, home.
Normally at home.
Security and stability, nothing comes to mind.
My husband.
And how is he stability for you?
Well, he's strong, energetic, and he's wonderful.
Knowing who you are, being comfortable with being you,
don't know. You stumped me.
Bow your heads with me, if you would. Lord, thank you that we get to be together in this place and talk about real stuff. And I pray, Lord, that each of us in this room finds our security in you and you alone. And we work hard and we do our part, but ultimately we place our faith in you and we begin to follow you. Lord, help us today, above all else, to just take ourselves to a place where we're willing to listen to you from now on. And that is our great goal, to listen to you and just follow through. Thank you for friends that want to gather. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, have a wonderful day. Don't leave till the lights come on. Hey, buddy.